Now, backup. Again, the backup is always kind of a very important role which it plays, especially in the disaster recovery time. Why? Because whatever data I am using in the production system day in, day out, this also needs to be backed up so that if I need to restore the data, why would I need to restore? Because if my primary servers are not reachable probably, or I have a data corruption, or there is a ransomware attack which has kind of encrypted my data, how would I restore that? So I would restore only if I have backed them up, right? So in this section, we'll be talking more about the several backup technologies, several backup types. And again, remember, guys, a very important topic. So the backup is you have a dedicated resource who manage the backup in the environment, right? So your backup could be of several types. What do you want to back up? That's you need to decide. You want to back up the user data? Yes, because the user data may also be very, very important. So suppose if there is a bad sector on the laptop hard drive, or there is a laptop which is stolen, and you want to restore the data of the user. So what probably you would request the user is there is a specific drive. You are required to keep all your important data onto the drive so that at the night, that data has been backed up. So that even if you are losing your laptop, or even if there is some problem, hardware problem on your laptop, you can easily restore your critical data. Obviously, you would not like to back up your the user personal information, like a photograph, or maybe the trip which he has gone for, which is in GBs. Obviously, you would not like to have the infrastructure spend on those personal data, right? Your application backup. What you want to back up from the application standpoint? Do you want to take a snapshot backup, wherein you want to take a point in time backup, or what the database backup you want to take? What all the fields from the database you want to take it as a backup? So all this are a part of your backup strategy. So whenever you decide your backup strategy, all these factors play a major role here. Okay. Now let's talk about the various types of the backup. Okay. You have full backup, differential backup, and the incremental backup. What are those? Let us talk about them in detail. Full backup. Full backup is nothing but you're copying everything. Okay. So to explain you in a simpler term, if a friend of yours has come to you with a hard drive saying, "Hey, I have new movie on my hard drive. Do you want it?" So obviously, we'll say yes because it's free. So we'll probably copy or connect the hard drive with our laptop, and we'll copy the entire folder. That's nothing but the concept of full backup. Okay, wherein you have absolutely clone of the data stored somewhere else, a copy of it. The problem is, or I would say the good side of it is when you want to restore it, okay, it is very quick, right? Why? Because you already have the entire data with you, and you just need to copy. It is just a matter of the copying data. However, it takes a lot of time to take a backup. So I have seen instances wherein in the organization they have a policy that monthly they take a full backup, and then they take incremental and the differential backup. However, the monthly backup takes 2 or 3 days to complete the entire full backup, because over a period of month a lot has changed, right? But it's also an effective way of taking a backup, because you are absolutely sure that you have a backup ready with you. Again, since I am backing up everything, it consumes a lot of space, right? So a lot of space comes with a lot of investment. So you need to decide as an organization what backup strategy you want to go for. Differential backup. Okay, now friends, please remember the differential backup and the incremental backup is also confusing. Okay, you need to be absolutely sure when the question is asked. So let's understand in detail. Okay, differential backup is something that the backup will be taken for the changed bits or the changed files after the full backup. So let me give an example. Say Sunday evening, if I have completed my full backup, okay, Monday, of course, there are some transactions happened when the business starts, and I want to take a differential backup. So between Sunday evening and Monday afternoon, whatever is changed after full backup, only those files will be copied. Okay, It is efficient because I'll be using or I'll be copying a very small amount of changed file. It is also faster, okay, and as I said, it consumes a lesser space. Incremental backup, okay, this is also very important, wherein the only difference between differential backup and incremental backup, if you want to remember, is any data which is changed after any of the backup, okay, it may be a full backup, it may be incremental backup, or it may be a differential backup, whatever is changed, only that much will be copied in this incremental backup strategy, okay. It is also very, very efficient, and a very tiny or minuscule data is being copied, because if I have a differential backup already taken, and if I am changing it, obviously the change will be very, very minuscule. So it will consume again the further reduced space. It's very, very fast. Okay, let's compare them on the table, so that you'll be able to correlate it very easily. Okay, let's talk about the methodology. So if you observe this table, it is kind of divided or explained to you in the term of methodology, how the backup is being taken, how the backup speed is, it's a fast, low, whatever, how the restoration would be, and the storage requirement. Okay, so let's spend about a 30-second here. Methodology: in full backup, it copies everything, as I just explained. In the differential backup, it copies the data only after whatever is changed after a last full backup. Remember, last full backup. And the incremental backup is it copies the data after any change after any of the backup. Okay, backup speed. If you see in the full backup, it's slow because you are copying back the large amount of chunk data. But in case of the differential, it's medium, and in the term of incremental backup, it's fairly fast. Storage requirement also, again, very important, because if you as an organization has a strategy of investing less in the storage space, probably you would like to go for the incremental one, right? So if you're taking a full backup, the storage requirement is very, very high. Vis-a-vis, if you are taking the incremental backup, so your commitment is very low. Okay. Now, what is supporting backup? Okay. So again, a new technology which will help you to understand that how the hard disk are placed and how it is helping for taking a backup. Okay. So there are several types, from RAID 0 to RAID 6 or RAID 10 also. Okay. So we'll talk about each in detail, but right now, understand that RAID stands for redundant array of independent disk. Okay, it plays a very major role for any backup, for any kind of redundancy in your environment. Okay, so let's talk about the feature of the RAID technology, on what fundamental it works. Okay, it works on the stripping, okay, parity and the redundancy. So what is stripping? Okay, stripping is nothing but it divides your data into the several blocks. Okay, and so say for example, if you have a welcome, probably WEL will be copied in one disk and COME will be copied in a different kind of disk. So that's something called as stripping. I'm stripping the data. My performance here will be kind of increased, because I'm reading and writing both the operations together. And it, my storage requirement will also be a little less here, because I'll be needing say the lesser amount of storage. However, I am not copying the data anywhere, right? So suppose if I have well, if I have COME, so WEL may not be copied anywhere else. So if I'm a kind of losing WEL, probably I cannot restore it, right? Parity is something, the feature which is helping you to provide a fault tolerance. So we'll talk about it in detail, but right now, understand the parity is something as a kind of checkpoint which helps you kind of correlate the data bit for restoring your data. My redundancy is, again, so if I have a welcome as a word, I'll copy WEL in two or more disks. Similarly, I'll copy COME in two or more disks. Okay, so let's deep dive a little bit on the several RAID technologies. Let's start with RAID 0. Okay, remember this diagram, it will be very helpful to you. RAID 0 is what? Two or more physical disks will be combined and it will be considered as a one logical disk. Okay, data is striped across multiple disks, as I just explained. You have WEL, you have COME, so you'll be dividing them, and it will copy in say one in disk one, one in disk two. The performance would be better. However, you are in the mercy of the hard drive performance. If one hard drive fails, you may lose with that data. So to overcome that, there were several kind of technologies developed. So RAID 1. So RAID 1 here, as I was explaining, WEL will be copied in two different disks. Okay, and similarly COME will be also copied in two different disks. These are older technologies, guys. Generally, people do not use it. People use it RAID 5, RAID 10, and you know, kind of stuff. This RAID 0, RAID 1 as an independent, they don't use. RAID 1, as I said, the data is copied into two different disks. So if one disk fails, you still have the data which is copied on a second disk. So you are little saved. Here, restoring will be a kind of a challenge, because there is no a parity which is being stripped. So remember, parity bit is something which helps me rebuilding the data. Okay, so if I am losing my parity bit, I have no way to rebuild the data, right? So this could be a failing there. And similarly, it does not offer any fault tolerance. So as I said, if my parity bit drive itself is crashed or if it is corrupted, I'll not be in a position to restore my data. Moving on to the RAID 3, there is no RAID 2. Okay, so there is RAID 3, which requires minimum 3 disks. Okay, so you can probably correlate with 3 here, so that will be easier for you to understand. Here my data will be striped on 2 or more disks again, similar to my RAID 1, but my parity will be again on the one disk, almost similar to that. So if any disk fails, as I mentioned, I have my kind of parity which helps me correlating the bits. So since I have a data copied onto the various drives, my parity bit will help me understanding the data and picking up the data from the several drive, and it will restore. However, if the data disk and parity disk both fail at the same time, then I'm in a fix. Okay, so that's the major difference between the previous one and this one, that if my data disk, the disk where the data is stored, and my disk where the parity is also stored, if both fails, then it's a problem, right? RAID 5, a very common, many of you might have used, also used it already. So the RAID 5 here, the benefit of RAID 5 is my data and my parity both are stripped across multiple disk, okay, and that's why it is kind of widely used. So the benefit is, if my one disk fails, I can reconstruct again using my data and my parity also. So suppose the disk which has which had the parity bit fails, I can probably have the parity stored on the other disk also, which can be helpful for restoring my data. Some implementations allow the hot swapping. So it's a very common terminology wherein if your hard drive has a bad sector, or if it is failed, or if it is showing the amber light, even if the server is up and running, you'll probably swap out the existing drive and you swap in the newly provided drive by OEM, and then you're done. There is no downtime involved here, right? So that's why it is used it very frequently. Few more thing about RAID 5 is even if my one disk fails, as I explained, my operation will be keep on running. And here, since I am using both, I am using striping also, and I am using parity also, my performance will be improved here. RAID 6, another technology advanced than the RAID 5, wherein the only change is my parity. Okay, it's not limited to be striped only on two or more disks. My parity bit, which is a very very critical element to restore my data, will be also copied on all the disks, so that even if my multiple disk fails, I'll be able to restore my data, right? RAID 10, okay, so there is no RAID 10 as such, but RAID 1 and RAID 0, which is combined and call it as a RAID 10, right? So here again, this is also a little expensive kind of technology which is being used. The organization who has a very, very high requirement of the data, typically the financial institutions or the stock market and all, they use this technology. Okay, there is another terminology which is used for this called as a stripe of mirrors, for this particular technology, right? So this is most suitable, as I said, for wherein I have a very high data requirement, where read and write, like stock market example which I gave you, it's a real time data which is required to be accessed, right? And it is also an expensive state of affairs, with the only reason that the number of disk requirement is actually more, right? Data backup, certain best practices, it's important for all of us to know. Why? Because the attackers, the hackers, they are now targeting the backup. Okay, why? Because they know for sure that if I encrypt the backup itself, okay, the organization is bound to pay the ransom. Okay, so there are few of the good practices which we as an organization and the industry also follows, wherein offline backup. Okay, offline backup is nothing but a copy of a data is generally kept on the drive, which is not connected to network. There are instances wherein the intruder got an access to the primary data. Obviously, they had a backup at the disaster recovery site, the geographically spread across requirement from the regulatory, but that was online connected with the same network, right? So naturally, the hacker got a hold of that data also, and he managed to encrypt that as well. Now, if, remember, the organization was without any data. What to do in such case? You might have to pay the ransom, because otherwise you may be out of the business. So to overcome that, we can have a control wherein I have a data which is copied on a periodic basis. The frequency you as an organization can decide that you want to monthly copy a data and put it on a hard drive. And again, this hard drive could be stored in the physically secured environment, because you may open another risk that if somebody gets a hold of that hard drive, you may also be in a fix, right? So you may would like to have the additional physical control. So what many of the organization do is they have the fireproof cabinet or a locker, which is placed at a CEO's place or a director's place, and they keep that hard drive there, so that even if there is a ransomware attack and if you want to restore, at least you are sure that you'll be able to restore the data of at least a month back, right? Few more stuff on the offline data after offline, there is off-site backup is also something important. So if you are taking the cyber insurance for your organization, okay, it is must to have a requirement that your data should have a three copy. Okay, one could be local, one could be in some other server, and one could be a copy which is geographically different location. You might be wondering what could be a geographically different location. So say for example, if you have the primary server placed at Mumbai, okay, your data backup which you're taking every night, it is also placed in Mumbai. However, the secondary copy should be there in your another data center, which could be probably in Hyderabad, right? So that if there is unrest in Mumbai, at least you are sure that you can access the data from the Hyderabad facility. So that's something about the geographically spread across. This also is a very, very helpful in the event of any ransomware attack. Okay, so few more the best practices is, whenever you talk about the data or whenever you define the data backup strategy, it should be aligned with your business continuity plan and the disaster recovery plan. Okay, why? Because if you have the requirement of restoring the data of last 2 hours, okay, you should have the data up to last 2 hours, right? So the policy all depends on whatever you have agreed, whatever your business has asked for in the BCPDR or business impact assessment document, and your backup strategy should be aligned with it, right? Few more important thing is, these days there are solutions available wherein to access the data, there is a separate pair of credentials are required. Okay, you are no longer dependent on your Active Directory credentials. Why? Because what if your Active Directory itself is compromised? Okay, so you generally have a separate set of credentials which is used in the event of such a disaster. Also, it is recommended that you know you encrypt the data. Why? Because if you are using or processing the payroll related information, wherein you have the date of birth, you have the gender, you probably have the financial compensation of the employee, that may be sensitive in nature, right? So maybe you would like to encrypt that specific field or you know that specific row in the table. Because if even if you get a hold of or say the hacker gets hold of the data, they will not be able to get the access to this encrypted files, right? Again, one thing to remember is if you build encryption that that have additional resources requirements, so you may require an additional CPU there, right? So that's pretty much about the data backup, and with this we end this chapter. So let's look back and see what we learned. We learned about what is a corporate governance, what is an IT governance per se, what are the different type of cloud, what are the IaaS, SaaS, PaaS, etc. We learned in this chapter. We learned the several red 0, red 1, red 10, kind of technology in this chapter. We also learned some good practices of the backup, how your IT corporate governance and your IT strategy should be aligned with the business requirement, and what are the best practices which needs to be followed for backing up my data. Okay, with this we end this chapter, guys. Thank you so much for your time. I hope you are keeping the notepad and a pen with you, and you are writing down the examples which we are discussing as and when we go, because I always mention that these examples written in your by your own hand will help you to understand the chapter more better. Take care of yourself. Thank you so much.